All right, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the preaching this morning. And Lord, that we might learn and grow. Lord, it's up to us to open our heart. It's up to us to obey you. It's up to us to get our hearts right, especially at this Christmas time. Help us, Lord, to search the words that you have said and what they mean and how we can change our lives to please you. Bless in the preaching and the hearing of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 24 is called the Olivet Discourse. We were studying some of this in our adult Sunday school hour, in our adult books there in Mark. And Luke also has a portion of all of that. But there's a reason why we're reading it in Matthew, and you'll find that out soon. So follow as I read, if you would, Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of his coming, and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many of the offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Out of all of those that we have read, and we did not read all of the only half of the discourse that he said, I'm majoring in this morning on one verse. It says here in verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of money shall wax cold." You get all this turmoil, you get all these wars, you get all these trials and tribulations. It's going to have an adverse affection on each one of us. This is all preceding up to the tribulation. That doesn't come until verse 21, where he says, "For then shall be great tribulation." But he says that because of all of the trouble in the world, and do we not have that today? Are we not living in that time right now? He says they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted in verse 9. They'll kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And he says some of them are going to be betraying you because they are offended. They'll betray one another. You thought you could trust them, but they go behind your back and they betray you. And the word hate is used. You might circle that in your Bible. And many false prophets shall rise. They were sitting, but now they rise, and shall deceive many. Deception. And he goes on in verse 12, because of all of this iniquity, all of this sin that is rampant all around us, the love of many shall wax cold. The word wax in the Old English just means to grow. The love of many shall grow cold. Christmas season 2023. I see many Christians not having love. I see hate. I hear hate. Jesus said that's going to happen. There will be some that betray you. You trusted them. Help them, bless them. But they'll hate you. They'll betray you. The love that they once had, verse 12, not just a few, but many shall grow cold. All of these things that are listed down through that we have read, they've always taken place. In verse 6, he tells us how to react to this. He says, "And ye shall hear of war. Rumors of war, see that you're not troubled." Circle that. You're not to be troubled because of that. We live in a world, some people just live by fear and not faith. They're full of care, which the Bible tells us to be careful for nothing. God's not pleased with that. And he said, "Be not troubled." Are you allowing this or anything else trouble you? He said, "This must come to pass," in verse 6. So there's reactions to the actions in the world that we live in. Jesus said there are going to be at least two different kinds. The betrayers, those that hate one another that you circle, and the people that should be loving to one another, Their love is going to be flimsy. It's going to be soft, on and off. Again. How are you going to get through a life, live it for Christ, if you don't check yourself out and get your own heart right? Christians point fingers at others, but they even do worse. Jesus addressed that. You're looking for the speck in your brother's eye, and you got a beam in yours. And of course, you don't think it's you that Jesus is talking to. It's everybody else. All of these things must back. Look at verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And when you do that, you deceive, you trick many. People are deceived out here in the world today. They are trusting things they should not trust. We see it in every area of our life. You wonder about when you go to buy a car, a salesman would try to deceive you at one point or another. And so, even when you try to buy anything, you don't know what you're really getting. You have to have some faith. You have to have some trust, but beware. People will be deceived. We have so many different religions in this world, and also denominations of Christianity. When it's so simple to be able to come to the Bible and read the Bible for yourself and know what the truth is, but denominations won't do that. And so people are deceived because they don't read their own Bibles. They don't even know what a Bible is. They think an NIV or ASV is a Bible. It's not. So there's a lot of deception that is going on. Look at verse 23 and 24. Also, he says, then if any shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great things and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, those that are really saved. So you're not above being deceived. That's why I try to have you bring your Bibles to church and not just let them sit in a pew, but put them in your lap so you can read and study, because you're the one that's going to be deceived because you don't know the truth. That your only hope is the Word of God. Where do you go for truth? You can't find it out here in the world. And because they don't know what's right and wrong, and they get all upset about the trials and the problems and the low finances and who's in charge of everything, the love of many shall wax cold. You see that everywhere. People are fighting and bickering everywhere, all over the world. Our Congress and everything sets a bad example. They're fighting and bickering all the time. I mean, there's only one book. There's only one truth. So, you know, somebody's not reading a book and following the truth. We see that in families. Bickering and fighting, picking each other apart, calling each other names, just having a fit over nothing. Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. You need to have love, even when you go through the hard things. With all of this that he's talking about, I'm praising the Lord that there is a God. And this God is love. And he doesn't change. He is always loving. Even when he brings judgment, which he has to do if he's a just God. The love of many may wax cold, but not with our Heavenly Father, not with Jesus. We have a constant God. We live in an age where wickedness is having an effect on everyone. It's costly and it's injurious. People betray one another. Did I ever said to you that God works from the inside out? Where's that love supposed to come from? From your heart, right? The inside. When he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, he says the first thing's love. Then all of the other fruits come out of that. That is still God working from the inside, love. Then the fruits of that love are shown. And this is what's happening. People say they love with their mouth, but they do not show that love. They contradict the Lord Jesus Christ when they're hateful. When they yell and fight and tear around, say wicked things. What kind of families, Christian families, do we have? What can we do about that? Everybody's going to make mistakes. Don't look for someone perfect. Don't look for your children to be perfect. Don't look for your wife to be perfect. Don't look for your husband to be perfect. We make mistakes. It means you don't lose your temper, but you show love. Jesus said, when all of these things come around, some will wax cold in love. How come we're attacking one another within our families? We can sit down and talk intelligently in a, like an adult, be able to talk to our children as well. All of this lack of love, it has a sad chilling upon each one. All of these things that we have to go through in life, it has a chilling effect on our Christian love. You're right here in Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is just another aspect of what Jesus came to do. He came to bring love. A different kind of love than the Old Testament. The law came by Moses, but grace came by Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, call your attention. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and ye have not heard them. Got a heart that's gross. The word gross used there is the Greek word pakino. And it means to thicken, to make fat. And it renders whatever it is callous. Don't care, just continue on without love. How many have ever seen the old film, The Fiddler on the Roof? Jane's shaking her head. It's a good film for you to see. It's a black and white, way back in the 60s, I think it is. 3 hours long. Talks about that fiddler on that roof. Talks about a poor man, poor family in Russia. And how the Russians treated them and so forth. Made me cry, made me weep. And you put yourself in their place. But those that had nothing, they had love. One for another. We've got too many self-willed ways. And that chills the love. Revival. We need it to come to our love. Go to Revelation chapter 2, if you will. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 4, as he comes to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Jesus wants us to love. Gonna get cold. You make it that way within your family? Is that what's in your heart? You see, if you don't get your heart right with God, you're not gonna have that love. You're gonna fall into the different categories that it talks about. The greatest enemy of the church at Ephesus, it talks to, is what he said to them. The great enemy of the church is not infidelity, or the gin mill owner, or the harlot out here, or the homosexual, or evolution. No, it's the Christian who holds Christ in one hand and the world in the other. And it tears everything apart. You can't drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. That's what Paul says. Do you ever try to drink two cups at the same time? It'll just spill and make a mess of yourself. You can't do it. It's what a lot of Christians are trying to do. Need to get sold out to the Lord Jesus. Get on fire for the Lord Jesus. Repent of your hatred. Open your heart to love and keep it. Some Christians are upset at what somebody else has done to them in the past. So they allow their whole life to be ruined by that hate toward that person. Jesus said, because of all of these things, the love will get cold. You don't want that in your heart, in your family, in your church. Don't want anything like that. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also shall be also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What kind of effort will you put forth to have your love take center stage and you're not being offended in hatred toward people, even within your family? It's because of this old world that we live in. You know, the next verse that he said there in that Olivet Discourse was that those that endure to the end shall be saved. There he's not talking about us losing our salvation, because that's an impossibility. Because that would make our salvation and keeping our salvation on our personal ability to be saved. He was saying that there's perseverance. Those that have the grace to endure to the end are the ones that are genuinely saved by grace. You see, nobody can judge our hearts whether we're saved. Salvation has to show itself outwardly. If love is not shown, guess what? That's the next verse after our verse that love shall wax cold. It's in context. The saved will stand firm through persecution. He talks about them, about all of the persecution that's going to happen, we read. And even today, we can see an escalation of that, with the global terrorism that we have in front of us. Now, martyrdom has always been common with Christians. On the other side of the world, Christians are being killed by the thousands. That doesn't hit the newscast. That'd be something you'd be offended at. They're betraying you. They are deceiving you, it says. But we live in a world today that the proliferation of the internet, websites, blogs, and Facebook pages, we're seeing the popularization of opinions leading to angry diatribes and unchristlike dialogue. Everyone has an opinion about everything. And it opinion seems it has become a god, worth defending with anger. Even among professing Christians, the comments and what comes from the editors have taken a decidedly downward turn. Issues not worthy dividing over have become a hot button topics that alienate brothers and sisters and sadly the unbelieving world. Issues that are not worth dividing over have been swept under the rug in the name of tolerance. Anyone who does not bow to the God of tolerance becomes an object of ridicule and self-righteous hatred. We're supposed to be tolerant of the sin that goes on within our families, within our nation, even within churches. It's become a god to us. That's what we live for, rather than living for Jesus. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of them, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The hatred comes because they're offended at what a Christian say to them about their sin. They want us to roll over and tolerate that. But the Bible says just the opposite, does it not? Quite a time that we live in. Jesus said this time would come. And there was going to be two kinds of people, the lost and the saved. He said the lost will betray you. They'll hate you. They'll kill you. They'll put you in prison. And then the others are Christians that have love, and they keep that love. They endure to the end. That shows the real salvation. God works from the inside out. Love comes from the inside. Salvation you can see through the works that we do. Go to 1 John 5. The book 1 John chapter 5. Jesus is what we're celebrating, and he's the one that has love. That's why I'm preaching on love. Is Christ happy with us, what we say, how we conduct ourselves, what emotions we have? Is it hate or love? 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. A few more verses right there in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. It says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because of his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abideth in him. In verse 18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's talking about our words not just being the only thing. Walking around and say, oh, we love everybody. Now your deeds show a different thing. One last verse again in Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Love waxing cold. Has your love for one another waxed cold? True salvation has to match what the Bible says. May you grow in your love, not let it get cold. Come closer to Jesus. Receive the truth that is preached to you. That's the way God says it should be. He hasn't changed. We've read the scriptures to know that God said that. It's not just an opinion. We'll have a real Christmas. if we get the love straightened out. And next Sunday's message will go along with this one, but not about love. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you might use the scriptures that we studied this morning, the preaching that went forth, that it will not fall on ears that will not hear, or eyes that will not see the scriptures. But, Lord, that we will grow in our love one toward another. Put the hurts, the betrayals, everything that was in our life behind us and forget it. May we continue to go forward to be a better Christian every day that we live. May this Christmas be a different Christmas than any other. Bless us as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. In your hymn books, please. Number 202. Number 202. Jesus speaking to you. He said he would speak to you through the word. That's what we did this morning. This altar is open for you to come, get things right with God. One thing about your life, you don't fool God. And your life will show your love. And your hate will show as well. Let's all stand as we sing. Number 202, come as you will. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. On the last stanza. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.